This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. My co-host is Nevena. Who we got now, Nev?
Live in the studio, we have Ave Pulielli, who's the Greens' northeastern metro MP, who's made it despite some closures on Punt Road.
Yes.
Ave, welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure to have you. We were just going to ask, do you have your tap shoes on?
No, I don't right now. It's quite interesting, I think, in my journey to now, to think that my tap dancing is getting mentioned on live radio. There are some tap teachers of mine somewhere in Australia who are going, what has happened? The journey to this point.
Well, tap dancing, but also I saw you wearing a tie in the upper house.
Yes, yes.
Do you have to wear a tie?
Unfortunately, at this stage, yes. It's an ongoing conversation that I'm looking to have with the Parliament. I think.
Does it have to be done up?
Oh, good question.
Actually, perhaps you get one of those pre-tied ones on the elastic and you can just, you know.
I mean, look, that would help. I spend probably an extra 20 minutes every morning having to do it up. I'm just not used to it.
So the upper house, we've had a lot of the crossbenchers in recently. We're actually due to have, I think Matt Bark might be coming in a week or two, hopefully.
Yes, yes.
We have the Equality Minister, now yourself. What is it like? I mean, I remember we spoke to you first time, and you're sort of a bit like, oh my God, what have I done?
Well, look, that hasn't changed.
Yeah, but getting your head around the procedures and everything and it is about legislation and policy. But getting your head around the procedures just briefly, have you got it worked out now? Do they let you in?
Yeah, look, at this stage, having four of us in the upper house, we're a smaller cohort compared to, say, Labor or the Liberal Party. This week, particularly with the supervised injecting bill, that's something that I had courage of from our side. And so it's been absolutely trial by fire, experiencing how all those parliamentary levers have to work, negotiating with other cohorts within the chamber, negotiating for a scenario where we could get this bill through. And thankfully we have.
Yeah.
Of course, there were concerns that were raised by the Greens and others in what safe injecting in terms of this bill could look like, but that is an ongoing conversation that, of course, we welcome.
And what kind of amendments were the Greens looking to move as part of that bill?
Yeah, so we, looking at the Ryan Review, which underpinned effectively the bill itself, it was in response to that review relating to the North Richmond injecting site. There were key recommendations around the expansion of eligibility criteria, improving access to the facility. We know, and we've heard in this program today, the really important life-saving work that is offered there. And there are cohorts within the community, such as those under 18, pregnant people, people subject to a court order who do, we know, in the community inject drugs. That is a reality. We can't pretend that doesn't happen. But right now they're exempt from accessing the North Richmond facility. And so by consequence, they are in a less safe environment injecting. And so they are at risk of overdose and they don't have access to that really important life-saving care, the ability to be resuscitated by a medical professional when and where the overdose happens.
I wanted to, because look, it's been in the news, drag performers and, this reaction at some of local councils.
Yeah.
Now, I believe there's a drag performer that's going to be coming to Parliament soon.
Yeah, that's right. So we know that there's been this, unfortunately, ongoing succession of events for the LGBTQIA plus community, safe places, welcoming places for queer people of all ages and backgrounds to come together. Those events are getting targeted by extreme groups with quite hateful ideologies. And so right now we, across all parties, I think, have to come together to call out this behaviour and create and support safe environments for people of the LGBTQIA plus community come together. So from my office perspective, we're right now organising for a quite well-known drag artist, Bilal Bazaar, to come to Parliament to meet with me to discuss how we can come together as a broad community to address what is really a crisis facing queer people of all backgrounds. It's really important, I think, in that conversation to elevate people like Bilal Bazaar who are of community rather than just politicians speaking on this issue. We really have to get this right.
Yeah.
And one of those things that's particularly concerning, having this hateful minority, which includes neo-Nazis, which includes people who identify as being anti-trans, we have
Even some of your colleagues, or even some of the people in the upper house.
Unfortunately, yes, the upper house has plenty of characters in it.
very, very good description. Victoria Police are coming to these events, but sometimes they're not using powers within that they have now, move on powers. Why do you think that is, and what more can be done about it? Because these are not isolated incidents and they're going to keep happening unless there is a united and rapid response against it.
Absolutely. I mean, the conversation right now has quite often gone to the idea of anti-vilification laws being expanded to include protections for people on the basis of gender and sexuality. That is something that, from the Greens' perspective, we are absolutely
pushing hard on. I mean, it's hugely important, but it's not the whole answer.
It is not the whole answer. It is a very important step, I think, and I'm hopeful that we can push the government as soon as possible to address that. I know there's been discussion of, you know, consultation, something within the next 18 months. We know these.
We were actually told by the Attorney General it was likely to be this year.
Oh, well, look, that is promising. Yeah. Again, the sooner the better. And as you've said, it's one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions, some of which I've been asking in the chamber around policing in this state in general. We know that there are groups such as the LGBTQIA+ community who need protection and need to be safe. And for example, the rally that took place on the steps of our parliament when neo-Nazis were present, the policing of that day, I did ask in the chamber about a review into what occurred then, and I've yet to hear back from the minister.
I mean, I think what we're seeing here is people that, you know, that talk about, and some of the comments that were made at Monash, some of the slurs that were hurled at councillors and others there. And I say to those people, you care so much about children. I haven't seen you on the front lines in the debates about historical child sexual abuse. I haven't seen you on the front lines about domestic violence, right? You are people of straw. And if you really believe in the safety of children, which you say you do, then let's have a look at, you know, some of the other areas where children are really being damaged and hurt. And I don't see any of those people campaigning. And I, you know, if you really believe in it, you know, stand up and be counted.
It's a great point.
And, you know, our community and everyone in the studio is of our community. And we look at the result that, you know, we had from Radiothon, which is our community, and for everyone who joined up and supported and everything, thank you. But, you know, the support we got was broad and it was very wide. And it takes time to build that. But with some of this stuff, I find it frustrating that it's really basic stuff. The evidence is there. You know, anti-vilification laws is only part of it. You know, a safe injecting facility. The evidence is there. Why can't we get past the politics of it? And I thought one of the opposition's amendments to the safe injecting facility was around some, let's say, I don't know why I call them licit or illicit drugs, that, you know, I think the opposition's position has moved a little bit in some direction. But on a personal level, how do you deal with this stuff? You know what the evidence says. The legislation, no legislation's perfect, but how do you stick with it? I know you haven't been there a long time, but how do you stick with it?
But it's a really important question. I think particularly in the context of issues you've raised and the current upper house, it's getting often extreme ideologies out of the way and responding to evidence. If we know that we are really responding directly to panels, reports, reviews that are given with the intent of providing advice to government, to the parliament, to ensure that we are progressing legislation where it needs to go, then we would be seeing the right outcome. Again, the amendments that we moved for the self-injecting bill were guided from the review. And my concern is that even now the government is continually under conservative pressure, often extreme ideological pressure, and that is a deterrent from taking all of the action that we need to. Obviously, the bill did get through. We absolutely welcome that the North Richmond side is now ongoing. Absolutely.
But there'll be another battle for the next one. Yes.
Absolutely. And look, we're prepared for that battle, and hopefully it has a collectively helpful outcome for the community broadly across Victoria.
I think we just had a question from a listener. How and who do we as citizens contact to encourage some of the events in particular? I think talking about, you know, some of the you know, reading to kids, drag queens reading to kids. You know who you contact? You contact your local council, the ones who are the ones being put under the pressure, and you tell them, right? Send an email, write a letter, make a phone call, let them know that you support this.
Absolutely.
Because the loud voice, you know, and the noise that you hear coming down the street are the knuckles dragging on the protesters of the people who don't want us to do this. So, and don't believe in it. The next year, Ave, we've got the state budget coming up, I think a week or two.
Yeah.
What would you like? What do you think will be in it, and what would you like to be in it? Because I think there might be some difference there.
Well, look, it's important that in the context of quite dire economic circumstances in our state, that we do still support things that we need to keep people safe, to keep people well and connected in our community. Something personally, on a very personal level, that I'd like to see is a funded pill testing trial here in Victoria. Recently, I went to Groove in the Moo out in Bendigo, spoke to hundreds of people at the event, organisers, attendees, medical professionals. Every single person said that we should be moving forward on this issue and keeping people safe from overdose death. Would love to see some funding for that in the next budget.
You know, there's a whole regime that tests food, tests fuel, tests the safety of electrical appliances, you know, ostensibly checks the safety of buildings, not always as good as it should be. What's the problem with pills? You know, we have a regime for licit medicines and medications. Why can't we do something for this? Are we happy for people to die? Is that what we want?
It's honestly shocking. I mean, we've seen Canberra has pill testing. Queensland have said they're going to move forward on this issue, and yet Victoria, under Dan Andrews, he's said that under his leadership, they're not going to have pill testing in this state. It makes no sense. Having it would keep people safer in our community. We know people are going to take drugs. Again, talking about ideology earlier, I think a lot of this is just guided by this tough on drugs, quote unquote, ideology, and we know for decades that has not worked.
It'll change.
And the numbers speak for themselves. Australia has the most amount of use of MDMA. So where there is demand, there should be a response.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if the government want to save money on testing the sewage water, test the pills. No?
And save lives.
And because that testing is actually telling you the level of drug use in the community. Sorry we're out of time, Ave. I really appreciate you coming in. Let's make it a bit longer next time.
Absolutely.
And I'm interested in, you know, your observations in the upper house. I'm going to be coming up there soon. I want to have some scones.
Good. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Cool. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Nevena. Stay with us when we come back. Quick goodbye. And or would you like me to do it now, Paul? How about I do it now? Coming up on Word for Word, Angela Bailey from Archives. And that's an encore show. It's a really great interview, that. And from 1 p.m, Take Me to Your Reader. I want to thank all our guests today, Richard and Scott from NAPWA. Peter Tulip, the ex-Reserve Bank of Australia, headed their research division for 9 years. God, he's got a story to tell. Declan Brennan, Lord Mayor Sally Capp, and Ave Puglielli from the Greens. Thank you. And we'll see you all next week. Thanks, Nev.
Thanks, Macca.
See you then.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.